No? Okay, all right. Cut that out. People might think you love one another. So when my adult dependents, some of you all call them children, but after 21, I call no one a child. So for my adult dependents, if they turn 40, and they have, we go on a field trip. Dad and the child, or grown up, and I say, you could ask me anything. Because, you know, probably at 40, they might have a couple of issues with you. Or ask you why you did this, or why you did that. So I went with my daughter, and we went to California, to the big old mall. Because that's what she wanted to do. And she said, "Dad, how come you don't sing anymore?" I'm driving, all the things she could ask me. She asked me that. And she said, and I thought she was singing, talking about being a worship leader or something like that. She says, "No, do you notice that when we're in a car, you just hum? You don't say the words anymore." And I remember that when we were kids, we had to sing every word to every song. And the reason why they had to do that is because I was always in the choir, and they were always in the choir. So anytime we got into the car, it was choir rehearsal. And she said, "Did you notice that?" And I said, "No, because now my grandkids are singing the words to the song." No matter where you are, no matter what you do, act like the microphone is on. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, act like the microphone is on, the microphone of your life. Act like people are listening to you, because there's always somebody listening to you. I'd like to talk about today, preach about today, teach about today, one of my favorite scriptures, and that's Nehemiah, the 8th chapter and the 10th verse. Anybody know what that is? And you're looking it up. You say it every Sunday. I don't know. Is this the Catholic Church or what? Y'all didn't get quiet on me and all that stuff. What's going on? Y'all didn't took communion? Did you have a little something in the communion? Or what's going on? What is that scripture? The joy of the Lord? That's it. That is in the book of Nehemiah. The 8th chapter and the 10th verse. We got a little bit of work to do. If you look at the front of the bill of your bulletin, what does it say? Help me. You got a bulletin? Be that beige piece of paper. Be on the front. Shut up. The joy of the Lord is mine. Is that what it says on there? What does it say? Is. The joy of the Lord is. The reason why that's on the bulletin, because I have really thought about this thing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And, you know, realistically, having lived this long and being around Christians all my life, gotta quote that, Christians all my life. Do you know when we come together and we have this wonderful time for these few hours that you never know what fresh hell somebody had to go through just to get here? Hello? You don't know what fresh hell. Fresh hell. Not just the usual hell, fresh hell. Fresh hell. Somebody had to go through just to get here. And sometimes we say things to people and you don't know what they've been through to get here, just to be here. And you think that she would say something like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And they say it back. But you don't know what fresh hell they had to go through just to get here. So that's why I put that dot, dot, dot. I can get up here and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, which it is. But you don't know what fresh hell I had to go through to get to that point, to know in my life, in my spirit, because of God's word, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes the joy of the Floyd is my strength. Hello? The joy of the situation, the joy of the circumstance, if everything is okay, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I've had an interesting 2 weeks where I've tried to do some things and it just didn't work out the way Floyd thought it should work out. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. But them other people, I can't stand. The other situations I can't stand. But the joy of the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, is my strength. That's why I put down, the joy of the Lord is my dot, dot, dot. We're going to look at Nehemiah and see as an example how the joy of the Lord could be your strength even when you're in fresh hell. Hello? Even when things aren't going like the joy of the Lord should be your strength, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. This morning, I got taught something. A lot of times, and I started off telling you that act like the mic is always on. So we were coming in church, and I got my little blue shirt on, and my baby had her little blue stuff on, and daddy had his blue jeans on and white shirt. So for me, white is the absence of all color, and black is a combination of all colors. He turned it around on me and said that white is all colors, and black is the absence of any color. It depends on your context. It depends on you. Both of those statements are true for the same two colors. So when we say black and white, we might be talking about different things. So I've come to the point in my life where I have to ask you, what do I ask you, Stephen? What do you mean by that? Just as simple as that. Just as simple as that. Love. Say that all. I love you. I love you. And I love you. But I don't love all of you all in the same way. Because we don't have that association, and you don't have that access to my life, and I don't have that access to your life. But we all say, I love you. I love you. So just as we're sitting in church and we say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, that really doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. You know why? I don't know what fresh hell you came from. I just don't know. So I have to do three things now in my life. I have to look, I have to listen, and then I have to love. On the back of your bulletin, there's an app for that. I have to look, I have to listen, I have to love. I have to look, I have to listen, I have to love. Look, I have to see you as you are. And if you say black is white, guess what it is today? Black is white. If you say white is black, guess what it is today? White is black. I got to look and try to find out what you're looking at and what you see, because we might be looking at the same thing. I have to listen. Now, if I'm listening, and I don't know how I figured this out, I got to shut up. You can't talk and listen at the same time. Is that okay? Y'all got me? Are you feeling me with that? If you are actually listening to somebody, shut up. Shut up. No, but, shut up. And it takes a lot to shut up. If when I was at the place over the bridge, if you came to my office and you had an appointment and I had something to do, I was on the computer and the phone at the same time while you were sitting there talking. Is that listening? Hello? Anybody home? Is that listening? If you're on your phone while somebody's talking to you or texting, is that listening? If you're thinking about what you're going to say to that person while they're talking, is that listening? Okay, because you know they're wrong, right? You're going to straighten them out in a minute. And the last one is love. Love them just like they are. I know you have words for them, but love them just like they are, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that person that you might not value or you might not understand, God still loves them. So the joy of the Lord, it's really my strength. And in Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, we can see how the ordinary person, anybody ordinary here? You can raise your hand. I just need to check to make sure. Ordinary people. Because you know, in 1 Samuel, we're talking about David, who was an ordinary person who became extraordinary because somebody gave him a job that he didn't think he deserved, and somebody was sitting in the seat of the job, and it's just a mess. You know, 1 Samuel, where we're going to leave off for a couple of weeks. When David understood that he was going to be king, good thing, like I'm going to be the president, I'm going to be the king, I'm going to get the palace, all hell broke loose, fresh hell. Y'all understand fresh hell now? That's fresh hell. Because he's out tending sheep. He's a young man. Killed some bears and some lions and stuff. And knocked a giant in the head. He fell down. And all of a sudden they got a rap song. Saul killed his hundreds, but David killed thousands. Everybody with me. Saul killed. Oh, I'm sorry. Fresh hell. And pastor was, he's around the 22nd chapter, 24th, 25th verse. I mean 24th, 25th chapter. Now, but in the 22nd chapter, in the second verse, something caught me 2 weeks ago. That David, all of a sudden, was surrounded by his family who were in debt, who were disconnected, discontented, and in distress. Three D's. In debt, disconnected, and distressed. And y'all got relatives. How would you like 400 relatives to show up who are in debt, who are discontented, and in distress at your house? Saying, what are we going to eat? How would you like that? How would you like that? But so many times in our lives, we're in debt, not necessarily financially, but spiritually. We're distressed because of the situation that's going on in our life, and we're disconnected to God. Therefore, he really can't be our strength. We could say it every Sunday, but really, is he your strength? Let's look a little bit at Nehemiah. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness to us. We thank you that you are God, and besides you, no, there is no other. This is your word, God. We ask that your word cut between the bone and marrow of our life, causing us to be the men and women that you would have us to be today. Cause us to leave this place to serve you, to know you, and to grow in you. We cast all our cares upon you because you care affectionately for us. And in your word, let us find the answer to every problem that we have today. not just to settle everything, but to be settled in everything, that you are God, and besides you, there is no other. So today we wish to tell our promise, our problems, how big our God is. Not to tell our God how big our problems are. So we ask that you would take this word and do a new thing in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, about 2 or 3 years ago, I had a wedding here, and some of my kids came back, who are grown now. I said, I'm not on Facebook. And they said, Pastor, you should be on Facebook. And they took my phone, and within a minute, I was on Facebook. Because you know, young people nowadays will not take the time with old people to show them how to do things. They'll just take your device and do things, and maybe put a password on it. They don't have the time to do that. By the time they sit and instruct and you writing stuff down, it could have been done. They got things to do. So you might hear some today technology in some of the scripture and stuff. So don't be confused. They did not have Facebook back then. Okay? Jesus did not have Facebook, or he would have blew it up. He would have blew it up. Nehemiah did not have Facebook. So on Facebook, they had this thing. And really on Facebook, you put something on there or YouTube, you can become famous just in a blink of an eye. Just acting like the microphone is always on. So a teacher asked a question to her students. And she said, fill in this. If my teacher knew, and then you fill it in. So a teacher with 20, 30 students, she cannot possibly know every intimate thing about that class or those kids. So some of those kids start putting some stuff down that really change the context of how that lady was going to teach her kids and to know her kids. One of the things was one student put in, I wish the teacher knew I don't have a friend. I wish the teacher knew my father's not at home. I wish the teacher knew that my father's a policeman and I'm afraid. I wish the teacher knew I don't understand what she's saying. I don't speak English too well. I wish the teacher knew. So my challenge to you, this is kind of weird, because you know that God is everywhere present. He knows everything. And he has all power. Y'all know that? Can we agree on that? But I want you to write this down or think about this. Maybe you shouldn't write it down because maybe somebody might think you're not smart if you write it down. But if you want to, you can write this. I wish God knew, and then fill in the blank. I wish God knew, and fill in the blank. Because one of the things that prevents us from having the joy of the Lord being our strength is sometimes we act like God doesn't know the fresh hell that we're in. Hello? Come on, now, it's church. All right. This won't go on your resume, and if you got a clearance, it won't make sure that you don't get a clearance, okay? I wish God knew. Blank, blank, blank. So, y'all won't tell nobody, will you? Because I don't know you. I know you church folks don't gossip. So I'm going to share mine with you. I wish God knew that I really wish he would heal my wife so life could get back to abnormal. I'm going to let you marinate that just a little bit in whatever you want to marinate that in. Because I'm serious about this, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I might as well tell you. Okay? All right. Because sometimes that's my fresh hell. Hello? Hello? Praying for everybody else and reports are coming back and this and that. But I'm not seeing what I want to see. So I have to really go back and say the joy of the, Floyd's is his own strength. Now that's stupid because I know Floyd. But that's the one thing that I would like God to know, if he don't know. That's kind of fresh air for me. But he knows. So that's why I say every Sunday morning, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And then I ask the question, do you need strength? Because I can look around and just tell that everybody's coming from some experience in their life where what God has done or is doing is not enough. Hello? 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 If it's just me, just point. Just point. If it's not me, just sit there. Okay. All right. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So there's so many things in our lives that can keep us from the joy of the Lord that is my strength. What is joy, Floyd? Put some context to it. You have to know what joy is. Joy is gladness, a state of gladness. Can you remember the last time you were glad? I mean, just glad. I'm just glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Oh, no, we got to go to church again. They're going to ask for something. They're going to ask for my change. They're going to ask me to be on this. Oh, God. I'm not that glad. But joy is a state that you live in that's kind of fragile. So in my house, we did a little remodeling, and I live in a duplex. And the duplex, you come in, and right next to the duplex, I mean, as you come in the entrance, there's the kitchen. We close the kitchen off and put a curio right there, a little thing with the little knickknacks and the eggs and the things that you don't touch. But we had kids and grandkids, and I'm old school. You put it up, and they don't touch it. Nothing's been broken in that curio. And it's still dusty. And all those things that we have in there, they're just pristine. But we never moved anything. Our kids and our grandkids and kids coming in our house had to learn. Because sometimes you come in our house and they look at that stuff and they snatch that kid and bring him right into the other room. It's fragile stuff. And did you know that your joy is fragile? I found that out yesterday. I went to the craft fair to look around, see who's still alive, what little crafts they're doing and stuff. And I saw somebody that I hadn't seen. And I went up to them, and they said, oh, it's you. I almost went ghetto on them. The next words that were coming out of my mouth would have been fresh hell. I had to walk it off. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. How can I be that fragile? How can I be that fragile? I'm a preacher. I've been through everything. I've been through anything. You just tell me, I'll tell you. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. I figured out that when I'm up here saying that, sometimes it's fragile to you because I don't know what you've been through. Preacher, if you knew what I'm going through, what I've been through, what I'm looking at today and tomorrow, you really wouldn't use that scripture. Because you don't know. But I'm telling you, my context has been kind of blown away and expanded. Because joy is fragile. Your joy is fragile. But God's joy, his everlasting joy that he has put inside of you is not fragile. So I walked around a little bit, and I calmed down. The blood pressure went down, and I actually saw the person again, and I went the other way. Because sometimes you got to go around the city to get to your destination. And I sat and said, you know what? Why don't I just preach about Psalms 23 or something? Because this joy thing, it's kind of deep, God. And it's fragile. It is fragile. So preach it next time you stand up and you say that to people. Understand that everybody might not be just as happy, and you know it. Clap your hands. That might not be the song of the day. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. That was your cue. Oh, okay, I reckon. My God. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. So Israel is in captivity. God has sent them into captivity. What did I just say? Did you get that? Because I know as you rolled it off your mouth, it didn't taste right. God had sent them into captivity for their disobedience to him. God only required a few things of Israel. That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you keep my commandments. And if you do that, I am going to protect you. I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build, vineyards that you didn't plant. I'm going to make you example. I'm going to keep my promise to your fathers, your grandfathers, and stuff. And for some reason, they just couldn't do that. For some reason, they needed idols. They needed to disobey God. They needed to intermarry. They needed a whole lot of stuff except for what God wanted for them. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody like that? And have you read the Bible? You know how the story ends. That never satisfies God. So God sends them into captivity. I have a problem with that. God is good all the times, but he will give you time out. And I'm not talking about sit in the corner until the sun goes down. I'm talking about years and years and generations and generations. And you find yourself somewhere far away from God. And so in the time of... This is sliding off. I got a big head. In the time of Nehemiah, Israel was in captivity. And Nehemiah was in the city of Susa serving the king. He had a good job. Are you all familiar with these terms? White collar, blue collar? You know there's a third one? No collar. White collar, blue collar, and no collar. Let me tell you something interesting and give you an example of context. You don't have to say it out loud, but what would you call yourself? What would somebody else call you? Different question. Wow. What would you call yourself, and what would somebody else call you? Well, MSN says that you people live in the most prosperous, the second most prosperous, you have to put on your ears, county in the United States. Yes, you are rich, you're filthy rich. Lovey. Let's go down to the pond and put the boat in the pond, lovey. Huh? Right after church. Have James pull the limousine around and we'll go to the Smiths. Huh? And meet some people there at the Starbucks. Because one has to have Starbucks. So this is what people say about you. This is what the data says about you. But you might say that you are just some no-collar people working for a living. The working rich, that's what I call. Because if you don't work, you ain't rich. Okay? Your money ain't doing nothing but sitting in the bank till the next check comes. Working rich. You understand what I'm saying? Pay attention. Because when they see your license plate and you got that green and gold and the soccer and all that stuff, they think you're rich. But I know you. What a lie from the pit. What a lie from the pit. But you might think something else, and somebody else might think something else. So when God sends you into a situation, circumstance that is really his doing for your good, he still has to be your joy. So they are in exile. Nehemiah has this white-collar job. You might not agree with me because he is the king's cupbearer. He goes around and he makes sure that whatever the king is drinking is not poison. And you only get to do that right so many times. Y'all didn't get it. You're just so slow. He's the cupbearer. Very essential part of the king's entourage. Because people are trying to kill the king. And the easiest way to kill the king is with his food or with his drink. So he's kind of trusted. But the king is not Jewish. And Nehemiah is. And if anybody wanted to kill the king, it'd be the Jews. But he's the cupbearer. And Nehemiah Skypes his brother, who's in Jerusalem. He said, "What's up?" He says, "Man, it's rough here. It's rough in the hood. Look." And he takes his little tablet, puts it all around, and Nehemiah's seeing the school where he used to go to, and it's all tore down, and the jungle gym that he used to play on, no youth center and nothing like that. Synagogues all messed up. Only thing is really standing is a temple, and it goes around to the neighborhoods, and it just all tore up. It's just a mess. And he said, "Okay, well, thank you." And then he goes and he prays. Wrong thing to do. And he says, "God, would you help me go before the king and ask him, can he give me 5 weeks off to go back to Jerusalem and see what I can do? Maybe just rebuild the walls." And now he showed me the picture, and I'm just so hurt. Just so hurt. I'm living good here, got a good job, I'm white collar and stuff, but all my family, all my homies, they're just messed up. No hope. Just a few people in there. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. Kind of like the inner cities in our country that we see on TV. We say, "Well, why do those people act like that? I mean, what's going on here?" I mean, Nehemiah had that thing. And so, you know, it's really kind of disconcerting. I mean, maybe your life gets a little fragile when God speaks to you or when you ask him, "Can I do this thing?" And he has to go to his boss, the king, and say, "King, can I have time off? And can you like float me a loan and actually give me a letter of credit to go back to Jerusalem? And I know this is crazy, and as soon as I get through with that, I'll be right back if you'll do that." Man, you can have as much time as you need. You can have as much supplies as you need, as much money as you need. "God, you answered my prayer, but now I got to do it." Let me digress just a minute. Part of my 2 weeks of fresh hell is I decided that I don't want to mow grass anymore in my backyard. So I ordered gravel. Maybe too much. I found out that it was maybe too much. after the second load came. And he dumped it, and it was as tall as me. So I have an angel who happens to play the bass that I had asked to come over to my house and help me. And I don't speak Filipino a whole lot. Sometimes not at all. That's most of the time. But for the last 2 days, he's taken that pile, and my arms don't go that way, moved it from one place to the other. And anytime you have Jalari come and do anything for you, if you're a man, you want to get out there and kind of help him a little bit. And I did that for maybe an hour or so. I heard snap, crackle, and pop. I didn't have no cereal. Y'all know what that is, don't you? When your legs get wobbly and stuff. I had to go in the house, take a nap, eat some food, take some medicine, and then go back out for another hour. Snap, crackle, pop. And this man has moved at least 8 yards of gravel. I'm not embarrassing you, okay, because everybody here knows that you work from my front yard to my backyard. I maybe moved one, maybe. I don't know how many wheelbarrows one, but I realize that the joy of the Lord has to be my strength. Because I ain't got none. And sometimes I want stuff and want stuff done that takes work to do. I'm still doing this. I might be doing this for real. And that when you get into that work, that situation or that circumstance that you ask God for, God's not going to do for you what you could do for yourself. Did you get that? So if unforgiveness is stopping you from having the joy of the Lord, God's not going to do that for you. You got to forgive. If a habit that you're doing is affecting your relationship with God, God's not going to do that for you. You got to do it. God's gift to you is your life. And your gift back to Him is how you live it. That didn't fly over your head, did it? God's gift to you is your life, and your gift back to Him is how you live it. So Nehemiah gets the letter, he gets the time off, and he goes back to Jerusalem. And everybody was excited for him to come back, and they had a parade and stuff, and everybody was, no. There was some dudes there who said, if they build that wall back, they will rebel against the king. I'm getting on Facebook and see how many hits I could get. You know, Jews build walls. Y'all ought to be afraid. Because as soon as those walls are built, they're going to do that. Y'all know the history that they be telling our kids and stuff about how the God does this and how he delivered them out of Egypt and how this stuff. Don't let them build the walls. Please don't let them build the walls. But they build the walls. And this is how they built the walls. This is why the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hammer and shovel in one hand and magnum in the other. Hammer and shovel in one hand and magnum in the other. I ask myself, Floyd, if God wants you to do this, why is it so hard? Anybody ask themselves, if the joy of the Lord is my strength and he wants me to have joy and I'm living for him and doing everything that I need to do for him, why is it so hard? Work is hard. Anybody know that? But it's good. I was taught that work is good. Besides Jalari, working with Jalari, you never want to work with Stan. Stan helped me pour a concrete pathway. You don't do that in a minute. Hello? I know some of y'all go out and come back and the sidewalk is done. You don't do that in a minute. You do that all day long. Work is good. God gives us work. Our life is our work. But how does our life reflect the joy of the Lord that is our strength? Sometimes it just doesn't. Because you can see it on our face. You can hear it in our voice. You can hear it when we hum and we don't say the words. That our response to some situations are just bad. They're just bad. That is people who don't know or believe who God is. So, Nehemiah is there. He goes to the people and says, listen, y'all know who I am. I'm white collar. King's cupbearer. But I came back to the hood, and we need to build this thing back up. Okay? And they said, sure. And he did this. He said, wherever you live, whatever gate that you're near, and there's 12 gates, build right there. Invest right where you are. Invest right where you are. Build right where you are. With the magnum in one hand and the hammer in the other. For 52 days, they knocked that thing out. And the walls were built. The walls, the fortified city, where God's people could come back in. Because he promised that. 52 days prior to that, there was no hope. There was no hope. But God turned that thing around because the joy of the Lord was their strength. So they had this other ordinary dude named Ezra. Now, Ezra had come back to Jerusalem, and he was teaching people the word of God straight from the scrolls. And stuff, and they act like they didn't hear it because they weren't acting that way. And so after this miraculous thing, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, joy of the Lord is my strength. He did this thing, and it's just, look at that wall. Look at that wall. 52 days ago, we didn't do that. It took him to come and egg us on to do that. And Ezra started reading just the word of God. And they saw the promises of God. And then they saw the promises of God. And they said, whatever this word says, we will do. We need to recommit ourselves, just like Israel recommitted itself. And Nehemiah said, okay. Let's do that thing. And in the 8th chapter, in the 10th verse, he said, let's put some chickens on, let's get the good wine out, and let's celebrate. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that tells me that you know, when we say scriptures like that, there's a backstory. And God knows the backstory of your life. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're going through, and he knows what you can go to. Hello? He knows what you're going through, and he knows what you're going to. Your latter days are going to be better than your former days, but you got to get to them. There's no transporting you through what you're going through. There'll be times in your life where your joy is going to be fragile just because it's fresh hell. It's going to be fragile. But I tell you and I promise you that the joy of the Lord can be your strength today. His strength can be your joy. So we need to begin to tell our problems, whatever they are, how big our God is. What a switch. If you start doing that, do you think you could smile a little bit? Maybe on the inside. You don't have to do it on the outside, because then they think that you're all messed up and a Christian and stuff like that. Can you look a little deeper? Can you listen a little longer? And can you love a little harder? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know that you're a light to the world and salt where there needs to be salt. And that you have this flavor, this unique flavor that makes the dish good. What's missing in that? What's missing in that? What's missing in that? It needs just a little bit more of you. And for some of us, that's kind of hard, because we're saying, God, how come you haven't done this thing? How come the wall is not built? How come the gates are down? Blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Shut up. And start thanking him and praising him, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, we're going to leave this place, and we're going to go through the servant's interest, and we're going to go back into the world, our world. And things are going to be kind of the same, maybe, unless you change. Because if you change, the whole situation changes. God might not give you what you asked him for. He might just give you better. He might give you double force trouble. He might build the walls again. He might build the gates again. You might enjoy security. And you all know, because I'm thinking that you read the Bible, that, you know, the walls got torn down again. The gates got busted up again. But at that particular time, in that particular season, they saw the strength of the Lord, and it became their joy. Now, Nehemiah doesn't end so good, because Nehemiah kind of reminds me of me. They built the walls. They made the contract. They did the thing. Nehemiah went back to Susa, and he was the cupbearer again. 12 years from then, he came back to Jerusalem just to check on them, because the Skype was down. Okay, so he had to go. And you know, you can kind of Skype anything, show them the good things. And they were running amok. And his response was to slap them upside the head and pull their hair. It's in the Bible. He put them up and he put them down. I don't want God to slap me upside the head. Neither do I want him to pull this little bit of hair I got out my head. So I'm determined to obey him and to do his will and to trust him, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. God, because I told you exactly what I want you to know, I already know you knew it. And because I said it, now I gotta approach it differently. I gotta get a hammer. I gotta get a Glock and build till you tell me I'm done. Because your joy, not my joy, but God's joy is my strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness to us. Take this word and cut between the bone and marrow of our life. Whatever's causing us not to have joy, whatever it is, spoken or unspoken, put it under the blood of Jesus and the authority of that Christ who died for us, who came to give us life eternally and abundantly, God. Take that thing in our life. Move it out the way, that we might build the wall and build the gates, so that our life will be secure in you, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. As we leave this place today, bless us to be your example wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in his peace.